Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Still to come about an hour from now, Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kinnon, we'll talk to him. Looking forward to that discussion. However, joining us now, always a pleasure to bring on my next guest. He represents us here in the 1st Congressional District, Congressman Jerry Carl. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing fantastic, and I hope you're doing well yourself.
Hey, thank you for making time for us. We certainly do appreciate it. Well, first off, I give you an opportunity here. Just kind of tell us your reaction to the new redistricting map legislature had last week. Any thoughts on that?
Well, my district didn't change from the original map that came out of the House. I'll lose Washington County, which you hate to lose any of your district. You develop friends and family and but under this new map, I'll lose Washington County and pick up Covington County, which just define the lines and let me get started. I've already reached out to folks in Covington County, trying to reach out to the Republican leadership over there and also a mayor and the elected officials. And, you know, I'm ready to go and get over there and see what we need to do in the next round. So, which be the 119th Congress. So I'm ready. Just tell me where the lines are and let's run.
Well, how important was it that Mobile County and Baldwin County and Mobile stay intact and Mobile and Baldwin County kind of stay together?
It's very important because we have the same needs, you know, the same concerns. You look at folks, and somewhere there was a study done. I think they tracked phones when I was a county commissioner, and the same number of people that worked in Baldwin County worked in Mobile. So they would watch those phones going across the bay every day. And the people in Baldwin County work in Mobile, and there's so many people in Mobile work in Baldwin County. You know, the port. The airports, I mean, everything we have that we are joined together makes us a very close community. So it's important that we kept those two together. I was afraid they were going to cut the north portion of Mobile County, which would have been the majority of the city of Mobile out. It's not over with yet. Now it's got to go. We had a conference call last night with the attorney general, and now it's going to the court. We should know something by the 14th of August. If they should turn it down, they'll have somebody to redraw it, and they feel like that will be done by the 21st. So going into September, we should have a very clear definition of where our district's at. I'm just waiting for the district lines to be determined so I can get a campaign kicked off.
Well, that's pretty snap, right? You go to court, and then a week later, here's your new map. A lot of people are very, very pessimistic about these maps, and you're just sort of waiting to see. But do you have any preference, I guess?
Well, I like the way they are now. They're the closest that I've seen that I could keep my old district together. So I like where it's at right now. It does not have any of the members running against one another, which I think is very important. We've got a very close delegation up here. We'd like to keep it that way. The real problem has been obviously District 2 and District 7. And those are the two that they're trying to turn more into a black district. So that's where all the jockeying and moving of numbers have been. Of course, it throws everybody else's numbers off, so they have to readjust for that. And there's a lot of thought put in behind it. So we'll see. I don't know if this – I mean, you know as much as I do. My opinion, I hope it works. Will it work? We won't know that until the 14th or sooner.
Joined by Congressman Jerry Carl, the 1st Congressional District, here on the program. Let's move on to bigger national issues. The Kevin McCarthy is starting to make at least has created some buzz about impeachment, that it's looking like, and I think we're getting closer to that, especially based on what we've seen from Congressman Comer's Oversight Committee. Where are you on impeachment? I mean, what do you think? What else do we need to see before that big trigger point?
So the way I understand it, the impeachment also gives us, the impeachment process gives us more access to more information. And that's truly, I think, what they're after. Everyone talks about, well, impeach him and get him out of office. That's not going to happen. You might as well forget about that. And you can impeach him and stain him a little bit, or stain his career by doing it, but you're not going to get him out of office by impeaching him. I'm for impeaching him. I think he needs to be stained. I think he needs to be out of office, personally. But it will give us access. There's several things. There's at least two more checking accounts that they think the real gold mines in those two checking accounts that they're looking for. So they need a little bit of help from this impeachment process to get access to those, because that'll be part of the investigation. There's more information coming out. We've got at least one other member of the Biden group that is going to speak before us. I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he'll be, I think, next week. It's all moving real fast up here, real fast. This stuff's coming out. They're processing it, but they're being very thorough. They're being very methodical. They're doing that for a reason. They don't want to run out there and just falsely accuse and start throwing stuff out without having documentation and or proof of what they're saying. So if you'll watch them, they'll say some things and you think, well, they've kind of created that. No, they've collected that information and they're verifying it, and it'll get fed back out. So my hat's off to Comer, Jim Jordan. I mean, all those guys have just done an incredible job. Of course, my job's a preparation, so I've been trying to figure out how to finance the country. I have to remind people there's more going on in Washington than just an impeachment process. So, but we all do our job up here, and it'll be interesting to see how that comes out. This week's going to have some new stuff, I understand, coming out on the possible impeachment also.
What about the cabinet officials? We spent a lot in the campaign talking about Mayorkas, Merrick Garland. It seemed like that would have happened a lot sooner, but does that happen? Shouldn't that happen before Biden? Or what do you think about that?
Mayorkas is on the Hill tomorrow speaking in front of the committee. They will butcher him. That will be a mess. And he needs it. That man should have been run off. He should have been fired. But in firing him, or in letting him go as the president would have to admit that the border's not broken. And, the border is broken is what he would have to admit. They're all saying the border's working fine. The border's working just the way they want it to work, including Mayorkas, including the president, everyone. So on that side of the issue, on our side, it's completely broke. I mean, look what Texas is doing, putting up the floating barriers. And I mean, we're doing everything we can. We approved, we had come out of committee last week in appropriations. We have money to finish the border wall. We also included money for 20,000 new border agents to get them some reinforcements, and also a pay raise. So we've done everything we can do on the appropriation side to help Majorca. He claims he doesn't need it because the border's not broken. So it's going to get – that's one that you're going to see probably get impeached first, if not the earliest, because I think he needs to be the first one to go. But again, we do what we need to do, and once it gets to the Senate and Democrat control, they're probably going to shut it down unless you get a few Texans – and I don't know if there's a Democrat Texan in Arizona and Texas. Yes, there is. So you may pick up a vote or two on from the border states, but you'll see the rest of the Democrats fall in line on the, in the Senate.
Yeah, I guess Cuellar, kind of a critic of this administration, but we'll see. The other thing I want to talk about as far as impeachment goes, and, you know, Pelosi sort of broke the seal with the Trump impeachments, but are we, have we just decided that we have devalued impeachment in America and this is just going to be a way of life now?
Yeah, you know, that's something that bothers me. I mean, you look Marjorie Taylor Greene did, holding up the picture of Hunter, and that bothers me. I mean, to hold up a picture of a naked anybody on the floor, I mean, just the decorum and the respect for the floor, it is gone. It's, you know, we're at a point now that anything goes, and we can impeach anybody and say anything we want to about anybody. When we blurt these things out or we say these things about these people, we have to keep in mind we have to work with them for another 18 months or another 2 years. Some of them may be 10 years. You know, you got to work with them. So you got to be very cautious on what you say about them and how you carry yourself on the floor. I'm very blessed, and I got to meet with Jack Edwards, I got to meet with Sonny Callahan, Joe Bonner, and Bradley Byrne. All four of them told me the same thing. Show respect on that floor. Try to develop those relationships with folks on the other side of the aisle, because you'll need them one day. You'll need their votes, and they'll need you. So if you can get that relationship between you, you've got a working relationship, and you can move and advance things that this country needs. Not personal issues, but you can advance this country. And I think that's one thing we're losing on the floor. I mean, it's just become a brawl, and, you know, who punches who. And I see it in appropriations. I mean, all we talk about all day in appropriations are trans issues, women's health issues. And it drives me nuts. What's that got to do with building a highway? But they managed to twist it because they're trying to make talking points for the next election. I think that's a sad place to be in this country. Hey, I'll stand up and fight anybody, but why deliberately do it when it doesn't benefit the country? Because I'm up here to represent the country and do what's best for the country, and I hope my Republican views steer that. That's what I want to do. But just attacking people, and all this impeachment. Everybody wants to impeach everybody. You're right. Nancy Pelosi opened that up. It should have never started.
I mean, this is the way it looks to me now. Republicans impeach Joe Biden, and they'll have impeachment investigatory powers. And I would dare say that by the time you get through with your investigation in the House, I mean, Joe Biden's approval rating is going to be in the 20s and not the teens. But then that's the new playbook. That's how you and then every midterm after a presidential cycle, the other party does well, typically. And it just seems like a perpetuating cycle that we're going to see from here on, that it's going to be part of the playbook to get the next president elected. You impeach him about summer of the year before, and then it drags down the numbers and sets up the other party's nominee to win a presidential election. I mean, how do we break the cycle, or is it something we're just going to have to live with?
I think it's something we're going to have to live with. I'm not going to give it up on my part. I'm not going to go out and beat Trump to try to get people impeached or hold pictures up. I mean, that's just that goes against a lot of the way I was raised. So I'll take my votes and I'll do that, and that's my job. But you know, we really, I mean, you see them in politics across the board. You know, the voters want to see blood. I mean, they want to see an end. I'm tired. I'm exhausted myself on some of these issues. And will an impeachment fix it? Not really. But, you know, that's what the voters want. That's what we'll do. You know, what will fix it is getting some normal people up here that aren't trying to get in front of a TV camera constantly. Just a bunch of show horses. And they, you know, you get, before they had cameras on phones, there was a lot of things probably happened up here that we disagree with, but there was a lot of good things that happened. I mean, now you have to even be cautious of who you're standing beside, because, you know, there's pictures being taken, and it's it's not a comfortable situation, but that's the way this country's going. You know, they're looking for show horses, and not everybody, but so many of these candidates, they're just show horses, and you know, they're not workhorses.
It's kind of an interesting perspective you have, because you know, we put so much stock in the presidency. I mean, people identify government, and all levels below that don't get that spotlight. But the way Congress is perceived to be now, it's not so much as what Congress is mandated to do by the Constitution, and we don't have to do the civics lesson here, but it's now seen as an accountability mechanism for the executive, and that is a part of it, but that's not it in total, right? But that's where the emphasis has seemed to shifted.
Yeah, and I don't know where that actually started. I mean, you could blame maybe Bush or Obama. It had to start back in there somewhere, but if they want to do something, it's always an executive order. It was never set up for that. And you and I can discuss this at a later time, but was the government supposed to be three equal branches of government, but it has not become that way. So if the president wants something, he just does an executive order, and then we've got to either sue him or figure out a way of working around him. And it gets extremely frustrating. I think it's the power up here has shifted towards the president and the Senate, for that matter. I think they get way too much power. Again, it's supposed to be the people's voice. You know, Congress should have a voice in that. You know, all of our packages we're putting together right now, they'll make it to the Senate. Senate will throw them in the garbage can and start over. You know, and if it's left up to me, whatever they send back for us to sign off on, I say we retool theirs. We change it, send it back to them, and keep this tennis match going until we actually get a bill that's neutral and works for everybody, all three. But the president, you know, it's the spotlight's always on him, but he's only one of three parts of this equation up here. But through executive orders and some of the stuff they do, and we've started challenging them, especially in natural resources.
Right.
Some of the stuff where, you know, what gives the EPA the right to declare lead to be illegal to be used on federal property? What are they hanging their hats on that? And of course, we have to go through the court system. We have to go through all the hoops. You know, beach mouse. You know, what gives the environmental groups the right to keep that on a endangered species list,
right,
when in reality it's been there for 60 years? Where's the numbers that tell us that it has helped or hurt?
Congress, we got to cut you out there. We're out of time, but thanks for hopping on today. Insightful discussion. Let's do it again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Take care.
All right. That was Congressman Jerry Carl, our first congressional district representative there in D.C. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Carry on, sweet Southern comfort, carry on.